Good morning. I called Brother Billy yesterday afternoon. Asked if he had a minute to talk. He said, yeah, I'm just sitting here in the car. Problem was, he was sitting in the car on I-95. He said he left home at 2:30 trying to go to Benson, and at 3:30 he hadn't got to Benson yet. So I just asked him. I said, you must have got out of the traffic jam. That's what all that was about. But anyway, it's good to see you this morning. Appreciate you being with us as we continue to look at the book of Revelation. We go to chapter number 20 of the book of Revelations. And trying to figure out how I'm going to work out next Sunday at Easter. We'll probably have to put in an Easter Sunday morning study. But we'll just see how the Lord leads on that particular situation. But again, I do thank you for your presence, and I thank the Lord for those who listen to us over the internet. You know, those systems have their advantage, but they have their disadvantages, but they also have their advantages too. And it's great when a person cannot make it to services and can listen in. And we do thank you for all those who do listen in. Bow with us in just a quick word of prayer, and then we'll look at chapter number 20. Lord, we again today come to you with thankful hearts. Lord, I thank you this morning that I've experienced your saving grace, that I know you as my personal Savior, that I know why this time of year is so important to us, because we know that you paid that supreme sacrifice for us on Calvary. And Lord, the Calvary is the center point of our salvation. So Lord, we ask now today, as we gather together, and that we open your precious word again, the Holy Spirit would just put us aside and lead and talk through us. Lord, we do not have the ability to comprehend it, but thank you so much for that precious Spirit that's present as we study, that opens our minds and hearts to your precious word. So today, as we gather together, we thank you for each one who's here. We ask that you would be not only with this Sunday school hour, not only here, but all those things that are being done here as we fellowship together. And then, Lord, bless our worship service today. Thank you again for loving us and for saving us. In the precious name of Christ, with thankful hearts, we do pray this day. Amen. Amen. Revelation 20th chapter and verse number 1. We saw last Sunday as we looked at the Battle of Armageddon, the great slaughter when the blood to the horse's bridle. Now, want to notice, we're going to look back at a thing or two, and, you know, I'm bad for that. Now, in the 19th chapter, as we were looking at that beast and that false prophet, and in verse number 26, it says that beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And then it talks about the remnant that was slain with the sword. Now, notice that beast and that false prophet are cast into what? The lake of fire. So now you keep that thought in mind as we continue our study today. And then in 20th chapter, verse number 1, he said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. Now, this angel has a key to what? See, it's a bottomless pit. And notice it says he has a chain in his hand, but it says not just a chain. He's got a great chain in his hand. I thought about that when I saw it says he's got a great chain, and I thought about those times when we looked at those that were possessed with demons, and it said they'd chain them and they'd break them and those things. That even the demons have much strength. But now here we're talking about the devil himself and the power that he has. And it says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, we're fixing to go into what we call 1,000 years millennial. But something got my attention. A few things I want to look at here as we look at this together. When he looked at that old dragon, and he began to call him names, something came to mind also. Let's go back to Genesis with me for just a moment and go to the 3rd chapter of Genesis. And I want you to look at that, at verse number 1 of that 3rd chapter. And tell me what the 3rd word in that verse is. Serpent. So here we have a reference in the last book of the Bible of the devil, and one of his names is called what? Serpent. And the first time that he shows up in God's Word, in the Garden of Eden, he's called what? He's a serpent. And then when we look at it, we look at it. He won't a devil with pitchforks and two ears and fire ears either. You know, he was real nice looking. The devil always camouflages himself from his real character. But I thought that kind of amazing that basically the first major thing they call him here, but there's also something else in this verse that I want you to look at. Now watch this again. He said he laid hold on the dragon, that what? Serpent. Oh, serpent. So he's been around a while. He got a whole lot of age on him. And of course, I think we've just proved that. Which is the devil, so there is absolutely no doubt as to who we're talking about. And is also Satan, so we see the names that are tied to Satan all the way through God's Word. He's a dragon, he's a serpent, he's a devil, and he's Satan. There are his names that show up. And he said they took him and they bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. Now, where did the beast and the false prophet, when they were cast out, where were they cast to? We just read that a while ago. And they were cast into, it does not say hell, does it? It says what? It says a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So they're already placed in their final place of torment. You can't say place of rest in this particular case. So, but the devil now is going to the bottomless pit. And he shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till, notice that little word, till what? Till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he, next word, must. See, he must. There's going to be a fulfillment in this. There's going to be a period of time in this. There's 1,000 years millennial reign in this. And then he must again be loosed from this prison that he's placed in the bottom of the pit, where he's bound up and chained. The reason. But he's going to be loosed. But it says for what? For a little season. So we got a short time in this thing. But I want to read something else to you now. You know, we're here at Easter time. I want to go over to Matthew, the 27th chapter. And when our Lord has already paid our price on Calvary, and they have now placed him in the tomb. 27th chapter and verse number 62. Crucifixion has taken place. He has been taken down from the cross, and he had been laid in that tomb. And it says, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. So they're rehearsing what they know about Christ. He said, command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said, watch this. And Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. Man can do only so much. Look at verse number 66. So they went, they made the sepulchre sure. What's the next word? Sealing the stone and setting a watch. It's amazing when I turn over to the book of Revelations and I read this third verse of this 20th chapter. And he said he cast him in the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a what? He sealed that sucker in. Yes, but I'll tell you one thing. He told them in the book of Matthew, he says, you go make that tomb as sure as you can. But they didn't have enough power to make it sure enough to keep our Savior in. Right. But our Savior's got power enough to seal this booger in. Yes, and in the book of Revelations, he put him in that bottomless pit. He put a great chain on him, and he has sealed him up. Says, buddy, take that for 1,000 years. Right. Enjoy this. You don't free anymore to roam to and fro a breath above, in this world. Your reigning days are over. So they put him down. Aren't we glad that we serve an almighty God, the one and only, the supreme being of all creation and universe, our Lord and our God. In verse number 4, and I saw thrones. Now, we're going to do some flip-flopping here. So I want you to just follow with me. He said, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls, and we're going to come back to this now, of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They lived and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Would you keep that thought in mind? Let me back up again now and look at what John said to start with. He said, I saw the souls of them. But, see, he's going to do a little bit more clarification in this thing. He saw the souls of those who had not taken all those marks of the beast and everything. And they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, tells us that very plain. And had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, and hadn't received his mark and all those things. But then the latter part of the verse says, and they lived and they reigned. Now, see, we're going to get a new body too, wrapped to the church. So what we have seen with these, and we'll get on into this a little bit more as we go on. What we see here is that those saints that didn't receive the mark of the beast during the 7 years of tribulation period have now been resurrected, and they are in their new resurrected body, just like you and I at the rapture of the church. Now, if you'll notice in verse number 4, and it says, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. Now, let's look at just a thing or two and a place or two as we study this together. And I saw something else when I was studying and looking at those things the other night. So let's back up to Revelation, the first chapter again. You say you won't never finish, you're always going to be back to the first chapter again. So I want us to look at a thing or two here, though. I want you to look. Let me ask you a question, though, before I read this. When Christ returns for the rapture of the church, according to Thessalonians, Corinthians, now, when he returns, trumpet shall sound. It said, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. When he comes in the cloud for the rapture of the church, who's going to see him? Is everybody going to see Christ in the clouds of the air at the rapture, or is it just going to be those of us who've been saved by marvelous grace and washed in his blood? Now tell me who. Who do you think? You think everybody's gonna see him? No, everybody's not gonna see him. It's gonna be only us who are covered by the blood. Because he said, you know, all of a sudden there's gonna be two together, one's gonna be gone, one left, and they said, well, you know what happened to them? They're not gonna know what happened to them. Well, let me read you something in the book of Revelation. I hadn't noticed this. I want you to look in the first chapter, and I want you to look at, I need to read the whole thing here to get the whole picture, I guess, and we're going to be back and forth on that. But I want you to look at the seventh chapter. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and what? Every eye, Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 7. And every eye shall see him. Now, When he comes this time, at tribulation, everybody's going to see him. When he appears in the tribulation period, everybody's going to see him. And they also, which what? Pierced him. Wait a minute. Ho. That's an unusual statement, is it not? So even those who have passed are going to know of his appearing. And he's coming now for the final judgment. And notice that phrase before. And all kindreds of the earth, those that pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And you see, this has to do with his appearing at the end of the tribulation period when he's coming in judgment. He said, I'm Alpha, which is the beginning. I'm Omega, which is the ending. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. And then look at the next statement. The Almighty. The Almighty. He started it all. He's going to end it all. And he's everything between the beginning and the ending also. It's all in his hands. And he's in charge of it all. Now, while you're there, you can hold chapter number 1. I'm going back to chapter 20 and read that verse again, and then we're going to come right back to number 1. So hold your places, okay? In verse number 4, he said, I saw thrones, okay? And they that sat upon them, judgment was given unto them. So now here we have thrones mentioned. Go back with me again to Revelation chapter 1, and let's look at something else here. In verse number 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. That's a big statement. We'll probably talk about that some next Sunday if things go like I'm, lest the Lord change my mind. And the prince of the kings of the air, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse number 6. And what has he done? He hath made us kings and priests to who? To God. Now, this is the position that we're going to be in when the rapture takes place. We go with our new bodies, with our eternal bodies, and we go to live with our Lord for eternity. And as we begin to go into and through the tribulation period to the millennial, then we are going to reign with Christ during that millennial reign. Now notice what he says about it in verse number 6. And hath made us what? Kings. Well, when you think about a king, what do you think about? You think about somebody that reigns, right? He's made us kings and priests, and it's unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Settled, done, finished. Okay? Now, let's go back. L- Look at chapter number 5 and verse number 10. And here it says, and hath made us unto our God, what? Kings and priests, and we shall reign, where? On the earth. Now, here we have again a reference to our position with Christ during the millennial reign and what we're going to be doing during the millennial reign. We're going to be reigning with God here on this earth during the millennial reign. Now, go back again to, let's go to Corinthians for just a moment. 1 Corinthians. I want to go to chapter number 6 of 1 Corinthians and verse number 2. Do ye not know that the saints shall, next word, judge the world? Now here we have reference to the tribulation period. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you not worthy to judge the small matters? So there's a whole other topic that's being discussed here. But here we have that entered in, that the saints will be in a position one day that they'll be participating in the judgment of the world. Go back with me again now to Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 4. And I want us to look at a statement in this verse. And he said, I saw thrones. All right, now where have we seen those thrones? If we go back and we look in the beginning chapters, chapter 4, can't remember exactly where now, and it talks about the 24 elders, which represents the church, and we're around the throne of God. We're sitting around the throne of God, on thrones, okay? Now, he said, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. So now here we have reference again to us who are sitting on the thrones with God, with Christ. But I want you to look at the next statement. And sometimes we look at something like this and kind of take it a little bit out of, you know, our mind. We're thinking about judgment and judgment. But now let's read this carefully together. And he said, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. Now, what does that phrase mean? Does that phrase mean that there was judgment to those who were sitting on the throne? Or does that mean that they are given power to judge? And what we see here is, and we've just talked about what the Lord's going to do when the millennial comes, the thousand years millennial comes, you and I are going to be king and priest, and we're going to reign with Christ on the earth and give judgment. And this phrase here means that we are going to be placed in a position to give judgment. We're not being judged. These are not being judged. They're given strength and power to judge. So thrones, they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the soul. It talks about these are part of them that were beheaded. Now, watch this as we continue. Them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hand. And they lived and next word, and reign. They lived and reigned. So they have now been resurrected at the end of the tribulation period as we go into the millennial reign. And now they have been placed into the true church of Christ. And now they have a position just like you and I have with God in Christ. So they are a part of the church just like you and I this morning are part of the church. So they have now been raised from the dead, given a new body just like you and I will have a new body at the rapture. And now they are part of the family of God, the church of God, the bride of Christ. Okay? And they're going to reign with us and they're going to judge. It's given to them to judge. So we're talking about what they will be doing. Not a judgment to them, but what they will be doing. I think that's what that reference is in verse number 4. Now, verse number 5 starts with what? What's the word here? But. Okay? Now, but we better pay attention. He's telling us something. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So now, if anybody ever tells you that there's going to be a general resurrection, here's one verse you can always use. Because there's not going to be a general one resurrection, the wicked and the just at the same time. And God's word is full of scriptures that tell us different from that. But the rest of the dead, they're not going to live again until 1,000 years is finished. And what does it say? This is the first resurrection. Now, when we look at the resurrection, and I've considered studying this in reference to Easter next Sunday, because it's the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And God's word tells us very plain who's the first fruit of the resurrection. Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection. And then the resurrection of you and I and everybody that's resurrected follows that. And when you look at the resurrection, Christ being the first fruit, step number one. And when you really think about it, when he would put the tomb and stay there long enough to take his grave clothes off, and he took off down to paradise, and I believe with all my heart, when he got down to paradise, he said, brothers and sisters, y'all hang tight. 3 days, I'm coming back and get you. We're going to leave here, and we're going to go to heaven. So I think that's a part of the first resurrection. Then you and I are part at the rapture church of the resurrection. That would be 3. And then when you look at the resurrection of these martyred saints during the tribulation period, that would be part number 4 of the first resurrection. I'm thinking about maybe looking at that some next Sunday. We don't know. It depends on how the Lord leads. But he says this is the first resurrection. I want you to notice verse number 6. Blessed and holy. What? Blessed. We are blessed to be a part of that first resurrection. Amen. And because of the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior has paid for us on Calvary tree, we're made holy in his sight. And we're blessed and we're holy. Why? Because we have had part in the first resurrection. And on such, on what? And on such, the second death hath no power. Boy, if you're part of the first resurrection, you don't have to worry about the second death. You say, what is the second death? Well, that's that thing that I like to say. I said, if you're born once, you're going to die twice. Let just soak in now. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. We're talking about right here, a second death. But if you're born twice, guess what? Jonathan Cannon Lange, you ain't going to die but once. Because you've been born again by the grace of God. So it says here, on such that second death hath no power, but they shall be, and here it is again, priests of God and of Christ, and shall do what? And shall reign with him 1,000 years. And that 1,000 years is the millennial that takes place at the close of the 7 years of tribulation. So that's where we are, and the time's about gone, so I'm going to give you a couple of minutes break today. Because I'm going to stop right there. Because verse number 7 says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, something else is going to happen. Thank you for your presence today. Lord, we do thank you again for this day, for your precious word and how sweet it is to study therein. Bless now as only you can. Bless the further exercise of this day. May you be uplifted and glorified as we serve you. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen.